die?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. A little nervous. Rain falls lightly on your face, hiding every trace of tears. They laugh to make you cry, but heavens part your clouds and sigh. You are like the only bloom in a dying garden. Raise your petals to the sun, for you are the blessed one. True, you never had a chance, but now the circumstance reveals wind is howling through your soul and whistles a love song. You know, rain sparkles like your jewels set into the crowns of fools. Shine and glisten till they see, and if they won't, you mind. Believe. Shine, glisten so they see, but if they don't, well, I
believe. Gorgeous. Thank you so very much for playing that. I really, really
Thank
appreciate
you.
That. Let's play a song right off the album right now. This is Wade, the number two song on Learning to Be, Kathy Greenhold's brand new record.
I'm floating where I'm feeling, and I'm learning to be. Drift so the undertow no when I'm out here and my own tears die. There in the distance lies a shore, treading deep water, and I
That was Wade off of Kathy Greenhalgh's brand new record, Learning to Be. I love the gong sounds in that.
Me too. It's like a buoy is what
were thinking. Okay.
You know, or those sounds.
In my listening to it downstairs, and I do a lot of my listening to physical CDs or music in general downstairs in the basement in my card making area.
Oh.
And
your beautiful cards.
Oh, thank you. And in listening to that, I was thinking sort of gamelan. You know what gamelan is? Indonesian Bali percussion things and gongs. A lot of them are gongs. And also like mallet with xylophone type things. But it was like it's such a peaceful sound. And the way it just trails off at the end of the song, I'm assuming Steve came up with that. Or,
he did.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were thinking it would be nice having
when you that physically putting these things together, you work with Steve Dawson, most of it was in person, but you know, you send do things digitally. Do you sometimes just hand the song, you and your guitar playing and the singing, to Steve and say go to it, or do you sometimes say, hey, we need to do this, or you know, how does that process work between you two?
Well, what I do is I go in and play the songs. And then I really like to give him a lot of creative freedom because I'm a late bloomer. You know, I didn't begin learning to play guitar till
when
the
did
late
you start?
30s.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And
so it's never too late, people.
It's never too late.
Look at, you know.
It's changed
and
my
she's
life.
What? Like you're in
so
your 40s, so it's only been like 10, 15 years
I'm
you've been playing.
I'm 40. Yes.
You give Steve the freedom and what?
Right. I like to give him the creative freedom because I think he's a genius with all of it. And he can play all these instruments and he just has wonderful ideas. And then he'll tell me his ideas. And, you know, and there will be sometimes where I'll be like, well, I was in my head thinking more this, which is harder to communicate with just my guitar and singing. And he'll say, oh, well, what about this? You know, so, but really he... just he does the arrangements and comes up with things and for the most part I just love what he always does because it's always wonderful
and it truly is amazing because you know he's a producer and arranger and songwriter and he's got his own bands and
his
stuff
songs are
but
amazing
he doesn't run out of ideas because he produces lots of people and
yes.
you know you hear this stuff and it's like geez
right
you know
yeah. And he teaches, and that's where I met him, at the Old Town School.
Was he your teacher?
He was my teacher, yep.
Was that early on in your process, or had you been
about
already?
About midway through, because I'd already done 4 albums, and then a friend of mine, Melanie Budd, who is a songwriter, we were out at a club one night, and she pointed at a number of us who were songwriters and said, you are all going to take this songwriting class with me.
Nice.
So we did.
Nice. That's girlfriends are important.
Right.
That's what friends are for.
Right.
So there's 6 songs on this record. We've played through 5 of them so far. The only one we're missing is Missing.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to get you to play another song. You don't do it right now. We'll play another thing. But did you want to play Missing off of this, or did you want to play something from your vast catalog, which you'll be showcasing next week?
Right. Whatever you would prefer.
Oh, wow.
So
dealer's choice here.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we'll play Missing off of the CD, and then I'll figure out what to have you play.
Okay.
You got a show coming up a week from today.
Right.
Fortunately, unfortunately, it's sold out.
Right.
It's at a place I've not been to yet, Jarvis Pottery in Rogers Park.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about it, because I've not been there, so what am I expecting?
Paul Bick runs Jarvis Square Pottery, and he is a potter, it is a wonderful artistic space to be in, and I discovered it because my friend did a CD release there, too, and during the day, they do pottery, and on the weekends at night, they host all kinds of music, so it's just a wonderful space, and they're really nice people. His whole family is involved in it.
Well, and you talked about artists. Artistic space, a space to create art. That truly is when you get a good space like that. Mm-hmm. It is in itself inspiring,
right?
And you know, I know that from just you know my hobby of making cards and stuff. Your space is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your tool, just like Paul's space in the basement and your bubble and stuff. That's the space you're in. Besides the fact the headspace you're in, but the physical space can just really bring out things or make things easier or whatever, or allow you, if you have all your tools available, it frees you up to not have to worry about how you're going to do something because you got all the stuff there and to come up with different things.
Right. It's a very intimate space, too. And I have to thank Cynthia Marchant, who had a wonderful CD release there.
How many people about?
We have 50 people.
Oh, that is nice. Okay.
So, mm-hmm.
We got our tickets right away.
You did.
In fact, because my wife Susie works upstairs and I work downstairs in, you know, on the back porch or down in the basement or whatever. And we both bought tickets to the show, two tickets at the same time.
Right.
And also, I think we both bought your CD at the same day, too, when it came out.
I was like, is this a mistake?
No, we love you that much.
Right.
That was pretty funny, though, because he sent... You know, send us notes like, hey, I can refund you. No, we're just, you know, we're taking John and Jill, our friends, to the show on Saturday, too. So.
Which is great because it had sold out.
Yes. Well, yeah, they didn't get on it right away. We're on top of it. You know, occasionally we'll get, you know, extra seat or two, but that's okay. You know, then you can call up people and say, hey, we got tickets to the sold out show. So the question then, it begs the question that, is there something else on the horizon for Kathy Greenhold and band?
Well, my husband and I are...
Paul Cody?
Yes, Paul. We are retiring from our very long time jobs at the end of the year. They've been wonderful places to work, but we'll have more time now for making music, going to see our friends play music.
That is hard if you've got a job that's got to be there at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right, yeah, and I can't foresee us ever stopping making music. It just adds so much to your life.
Well, now you got more time, so you have
and
to
And now we'll have lots more time, yeah.
What about short term? Do you got another show coming up or something?
Not in the short term, just because this is it'll be the middle of November and then the holidays come in. So,
and this show is kind of special. It's not just, you know, playing the six songs and a few other things.
Right.
Tell us the concept of the show.
So this show is my, it'll be a release for this EP, but it will also be my 20th anniversary show. And so basically...
20th anniversary of you playing
my
music?
My first album, yeah.
First album, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was in 2003, and this is my ninth collection. And I spent a lot of time this summer deciding on the set list, and what we're going to do is play the six songs on this EP, and then we're going to go back in time and play something from every album, one or two songs. And we'll have a few special guests in the second set, too, who performed with me quite a long time ago on recordings. But I have to tell you, going through all my archives of songs and just all my, like, bin of show posters and everything, looking at stuff, it was like watching my life flash before my eyes.
Nice.
20 years is a long time in a life.
Well, and I've been to your last two CD release shows, and they're you know, multimedia or some other way thing, you know, you're for the album Halos Are History, you had sort of Saint trading cards.
Right.
And for the...
that was fun.
For
too.
If you had projection behind you and stuff.
Yeah.
So is there going to be something else multimedia about this show?
There won't be multimedia, but I have a few little special things that I'm going to give people, and then that will extend to the wider audience afterwards. So, because I've done a 20th anniversary playlist, so it's
nice.
Songs going back 20 years.
So. I'll bet it is. Well, let's play Missing off of the CD,
okay.
And then while it's playing, we'll figure out what I'm going to request. Anything you want to tell us about Missing?
So Missing is a little similar to Never Coming Out. I mean, it was a height of the pandemic song, but also it was about finding sort of peace and joy in the solitude of the time. I really leaned into that a lot. So you know, like a line is, she's gone missing from the world, but it's not a sad thing. It was like a happy thing.
It's not like a kidnapping song.
Yes.
Nice. Right. Well, this is Missing from Kathy Greenholdt's brand new CD. It's called Learning to Be.
Turn down long
beautiful tune, Missing, Kathy Greenhalgh. We've covered the whole album here, and then I'm looking through her catalog, and that's a project you could have. You make a catalog with pictures and stuff, and the trading cards for the Saints. You could have a, you know, a catalog.
That's right.
An art book, yeah, cocktail book, cocktail table book. But it, we settled on an album from her. The album is When You're Dead, which came out in 2013. And Face of God was the song. When I said it, she goes, okay.
Right.
So I assume they would probably be playing this on Saturday at,
yes,
your, at the show at Jarvis Square Pottery.
For sure will be.
How did you decide?
All the hits.
All the hits. Well, yeah, you got to go with the hits. But how did you decide, you know, which cuts to play from each album as you went through the archives, the catalog, if you will?
I thought about, excuse me, what were people's favorites and what were my favorites. So,
okay.
And this was one of them. So
something a little bit for everybody.
Right. This one is a little sacrilegious, and people will be like, well, how can you write about saints, too? But we all have our own special spirituality or not, right?
And that is one of the things I just love about your work. I grew up Catholic, and but I always say I practice enough, I don't have to practice anymore. But there's still that connection to the saints. Is it's drilled into you as a – going to Catholic school, I mean, literally, you know, it's like the multiplication tables. You had to learn things about saints and stuff.
Yeah.
But your songs take such a deep dive into these very human people, and you get the real story of these people who lived amazing lives. And all of a sudden, you know, what made them a saint, like the woman we talked about a little bit earlier, her superpower was like forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, it's these things are amazing. You know, you think about, okay, forgiveness. Yeah, everybody forgives people for things. It's not exactly the same kind of forgiveness.
No.
And you do such a good job of illustrating these people's lives. You know, there'll be a song about St. Kathy at some point, probably.
I picked the saints who have inspired me in different ways, or I admire, have done interesting things historically.
So tell us about the Face of God.
So Face of God. well, my idea of God is not exactly how the God I was raised with. Like, many times people are raised with an idea of fearing God, or God is very distant and far away, and somebody who might be a punishing God or someone you should fear in some way. But that's not how I see God. And I see God as in myself and everyone. And I will have to give a shout out to where I work at Loyola Press. It's a Jesuit publisher, and that's where I learned about St. Ignatius of Loyola, and that basically is his philosophy, finding God in everything. So,
all right. Well, go to it.
All right.
Looks like a complicated song.
There's this one chord. Oh, here we go. I've seen the face of God. I've seen the face of God. I've seen the face of God. It doesn't look like you. I sent a prayer above. I sent a prayer above. I sent a prayer above. But who's it going to? 'Cause my soul no. Angels flying by, mercies in me. Not up in the sky. I used to call your name. I used to call your name. I used to call your name to save me from my tears. You sat on your throne, off in that distant home, and all my crying alone didn't reach your ears. And
And I believe that there is something beyond the limits of our hearts. But I can see it in the mirror. So I'll stop looking to the stars. Of God, I've seen the face of God, I've seen the face of God, it doesn't look like you. I used to call your name, I used to call your name, I used to call your name to save me from my tears, but my soul.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Tom.
I really, really appreciate you coming in today and singing some songs and, you know, just talking about these beautiful songs you write and getting
some... I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
And getting some insight into this stuff. It's just wonderful, and it's just nice chatting with you, and always great to see you.
Always great to see you.
We're going to finish off with something. Pick a saint's... Or what is the first saint song you wrote? Is it the Joan of Arc?
It isn't. However, okay. That is my favorite.
Well, then let's play that. We've talked a lot about the Saints songs. And they got a whole album called Halos Are Heroes, right?
History.
Yeah. History. But St. Joan of Arc is important to me and Susie because we love to go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And that whole, you know, the connection there and the statue of her and right on Decatur and stuff.
The French.
Yes, yeah, that whole French aspect of it. So I'm sure you're gonna have a saint section during the concert.
I chose the Joan of Arc song to represent the saints, and then I'll have the new saints.
Nice. Okay. All right. Well, Kathy, thank you very much, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And do you have any like other little things where you're playing with somebody or anything like that coming up, or is this it for the holidays?
This is it because of the holidays, and then I'm looking towards the new year, and I hope to be playing out then. But people can check back at my website, which is KathyGreenholt.com.
How do you spell that?
It's Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, Greenholt, G-R-E-E-N-H-O-L-D as in dog, T as in Tom,
.com. Right. Thank you, Kathy, very much.
Thank you, Tom.
My best of, hey, Paul. My
it's been
best of
fun.
Paul. It has been. I really appreciate it. This is Prayer to St. Joan of Arc, Kathy Greenholt, off the album When You're Dead.